the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And, of course, we have been delayed over the past month here in our programming because, I'm down here doing research in the Bermuda Triangle. So this hour of the show, we're going to catch up a little bit on some of the weird news that has been building up. I got a whole little stack of it here from around the world. So thank you for spending your evening with us. And, of course, even though I am here in the Bermuda Triangle, we have producer Forrest Connor and also investigator Shelley Wright in the Asheville studio. And coming to you tonight all together through the miracle of technology. And if you were listening last hour, you heard me mention that NASA may have finally evidence of what is called a multiverse. You know, we think of the universe that we live in as being the one and only world, right? So what are they talking about when they say evidence of a multiverse? Well, it's being revealed, apparently, according to the Daily Mail in the UK, for the first time by a cosmic map group of scientists. They're studying radiation, and they're looking at all kinds of data that they can see throughout our solar system here and our galaxy with the Planck telescope. Story says the first hard evidence that other universes exist has been found by scientists. Cosmologists studying a map of the universe from data gathered by the Planck spacecraft have concluded that it shows anomalies that can only have been caused by the gravitational pull of other universes. The map shows radiation from the Big Bang 13.8 billion years ago that is still detectable in the universe. This is sort of the cosmic microwave radiation. And scientists have predicted it should be evenly distributed. But the map shows a stronger concentration in the south half of the sky and a cold spot that cannot be explained by our current understanding of physics. And so the only explanation is a multiverse. You know, I remember when some of the first images came from the Hubble telescope. And there's one image that everybody talks about. I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, where you look at this beautiful picture, and the entire image is just chock full of pinpoints of light. And if you want to get specific, that picture would be the equivalent of taking a drinking straw and holding it up and looking at a tiny, tiny little portion of the sky. And yet, within that little drinking straw portion, you see tons of points of light. And each point of light is a galaxy. And each galaxy has billions of stars within it, similar to our sun. And, I mean, that's why, being here on an island, I go to the beach and I walk around and I'm reminded that there are more bodies in space, there are more stars out there than there are grains of sand on that beach. That's and huge. It's truly incomprehensible. And therefore, I mean, it makes it very clear that statistically, even the mainstream scientists have to admit, statistically, there must be life out there. Now, are we talking about life that we can relate to or something very different? I mean, I don't know, but they claim that this little universe that we live in was formed about 14 billion years ago, and that for the vast majority of that time, life was just single-celled. it's only been in the past 700 million years or so that the single-celled organisms sort of branched out and became these more complex multicellular organisms that began the trends that we're familiar with. You know, the amphibians, the lizards, the mammals, and now leading to us. So, yeah, I mean, we are in the middle of something so vast and enormous that we really can't even imagine it. It's startling. And I know you, Forrest, your father is a very well-respected geologist, and it's always interesting to talk to him about geologic time. That's sort of what we're talking about, isn't it, Forrest?
It is.
Yeah, geologic time. That things move on a different scale than humans do, but it's a dynamic world we live in, and really our lives are just a little blink of an eye. I think it's always interesting. There is a quote that I recently came across that an American poet wrote, and he said something along the lines of, "Through our eyes, the universe is seeing itself." Now think about that for a moment. Through our eyes, through your eyes, through my eyes, the universe is seeing itself. Through our ears, it's hearing itself. And I would like to sort of add on there that through our mouths, the universe is speaking. And I think that some of us are perhaps better translators than others of what the language of the universe is. But it is a conscious, self-aware universe, and we're a part of it. And that's the wonderful thing about doing a show like this, like Speaking of Strange. We're trying to interpret the language of the universe and condense it down into these meaningful concepts that we live with every day. It's pretty profound. It really is. And let me also remind everybody, we call this the program that explores the summit of mankind's knowledge and the pit of his depravity. So I guess we're sort of in the summit phase there, but Dark 30 is when we get
down. You can't get any higher than what you just did now, talking about how huge the universe is, or the multiverse is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's the summit. What more can you, how much higher can you go?
That's right. That's as high as it gets.
Relatively speaking.
Congratulations, everybody. You have been taken to the peak, the crescendo.
And it's all downhill from here.
It's all down. There's nowhere we can go except downhill. That's right. I recently I was in Asheville with some friends, and I was they'd never been to Asheville before, so I was driving them up into the mountains and showing them all these big fancy houses that the rich people live in, and one of the guys I was with said, "You know why rich people live on the top of the mountain?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because crap runs downhill." Yeah. Shelley Wright, do you live on the top of a mountain?
No, I do not live on the top of a mountain.
So you're getting some of the crap then, huh?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, here's a story from Minnesota. A place called Waconia, Minnesota. And let's see here. Story says that I guess there's some kind of a... I've never heard of a Super America, but I guess this is a store that has a gas station and also kind of like a Walmart deal. It's one of those type of places. They say this is a Super America was selling gas for $2.85 a gallon, and everything inside the store was half off. And people heard about this and just came, and you know, it was like some kind of big special clearance sale. I mean, they're buying the gas, they're buying everything out of the store. Problem is, the owner did not know anything about this. The owner said that he was interested in selling his store, and so some of the prospective buyers came there and took it over for a day.
What?
And they cut all the prices down to practically half off. They pocketed $50,000 and then hit the road. So
What a great scam.
How?
You go to some... Well, you know, they were given the trust, because, you know, obviously, when you come into a situation like this and you are claiming that you're interested in buying the place, and the owner believes that he's going to give you some leeway, some latitude, and they went in and took full advantage of that. And they just, you know, raked in as much money as they could from the enthusiastic flurry that ensued, and now they have run with the money. They took the money and ran. And so this guy went to the cops and says, as far as he's concerned, he's been robbed of $50,000. And so they're looking into the matter. And, of course, the customers who happened to be around that day were the ones who also got a really good deal out of this. So there you go, Forrest. See, there's a little tip. This is something you might be able to achieve there on your own. Okay, next story comes to us from Seattle, Washington. Everybody loves bacon, and everybody loves marijuana, right, Forrest?
Supposedly.
So how can you go wrong with pot-infused bacon? A Seattle butcher says that he has found a way to marry the two, that he has been feeding marijuana to his pigs. This guy's been getting his pigs high and then slaughtering. Well, actually, he says he's even been giving them vodka. So, you know,
it's like Kobe beef, I mean.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Kobe beef. You know, they feed them like beer, and they massage them, and they have a wonderful life up until slaughter time. And so this guy's taking it to a whole new level. He says that he doesn't smoke marijuana himself, but he's feeding pigs. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. He's feeding the pigs marijuana. And he is giving them vodka, and the people who are eating his pork are saying, oh, my goodness, it's some good stuff. So that's Washington. Isn't it kind of...
I mean, were there any residual effects from that? Can you get high off of it? Is there any THC content in this bacon?
Well, I probably so, but I haven't seen in this news story here that anybody's getting high off the pork. But I bet you that the pigs are very, very happy. They're very relaxed when they have to go. And we are about to have to go to a break here. So when we come back, I have a story here from Sacramento, California, about a man who called 911 more than 100 times. And he did it to report CIA death rays. What does that mean, and how might that affect all of you? We'll see when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Bermuda Triangle, and literally hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you all the wildest news from around the world. That's what we do best here on the show. Glad that you've decided to spend your evening with us. And, of course, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you, of course, recall that, you know, down here in Puerto Rico, where I am right now, you know, there's this guy named Michael Rivera. I mentioned him on the program last week, who said he sold his soul to the devil. But recently he's been sort of reconsidering what's been happening in his life because he has a voice that's been speaking to him in his house. And he believed that because he had sold his soul to the devil, that the voice must be the voice of a demon. But now he's thinking could be something otherwise because this voice has almost an electronic component, and it's sounding a little more redundant. It's sounding more and more like, as he put it, kind of like when you tune, or I guess you twist the tuning knob on a radio, and you get little glimpses and bits and pieces of language. And I was thinking of that when I saw this story, from Sacramento, California. A Sacramento guy here believes the federal government is causing him agonizing pain and forcing him to dial 911 more than 100 times. Okay, we're talking about some kind of an electronic harassment scenario here. And he says, quote, "They squeeze my brain, they press my stomach, they stir my intestines." And he says that he believes that CIA satellites are beaming down death rays. And he also says it's top secret HARP kind of stuff. And he says 911 is the only place where I can reach for public help to rescue me from the satellite control. End quote. They have arrested this guy for falsely reporting emergencies. They said we told him over and over to stop making these calls. And, you know, he was annoying and harassing dispatchers, they say. But it's really weird. I mean, obviously this guy is what we would call crazy. But what if it's true? You know, what if it actually is possible that he is maybe not necessarily being targeted, but he could be in one of these beams. He could be within the channel of a true HARP experiment because we know that it exists. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll just briefly say HARP is an acronym for the High Altitude Auroral Research Project. This is all bona fide. This is not some kind of conspiracy crap. I mean, you can go look it up. There's a government website. They're basically taking a grid, a large grid of antennas, and they are broadcasting enormous amounts of radio energy onto parts of the atmosphere to do everything from create death rays to warm up part of the environment for weather control to potentially even manipulating one's moods and psychology. And what if you happen to live in an area that's in the pathway of a HARP ray? I mean, you know, it could be, but what do you do about stuff like that? I don't know. Maybe the guy's just nuts, or maybe he actually is in the pathway. Have you ever felt that you've been targeted by something, you know, electronic like that, Shelley?
Never.
Yeah. How about you, Forrest?
I've known when I've been in like the path of like maybe some of like the Wim Schirst or Vandegraaff stuff we've done, like the electrostatics, but nothing. I mean, I'm sitting here at the radio station right now, and probably right in the path of these big radio towers here, and I really don't feel anything.
You know, when I first got involved in broadcasting on the radio, and you were one of the people who got me involved, Forrest, for those who don't know, because you've been doing radio broadcasting since you were a teenager.
Right.
And you helped to get me, you know, involved in the radio business. But I started talking to some of the old-timers.
I warned you not to get in, didn't I?
Yeah. And I started hearing stories about people who would get cancer more often if they worked in the radio business. Have you seen that? The people who hang out next to those antennas get cancer more? Or, I mean, do you think that's kind of like an urban legend?
I've known a couple people that have worked here at the station and this station and other stations over the years that have developed brain tumors and had some mysterious stuff happen to them along those lines.
Yeah. Okay. So, you think there could be a connection?
There could be. I mean, it's just like, you know, you ask people who used to have the big brick cell phones back in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, they're convinced that they got brain cancer, brain tumors from these cell phones.
Right. And some of these tumors look like cell phones. It looks like a big cell phone growing in your head. Okay, here's a story from the UK. Headline is, shoplifter stole beef steak because it reminded him of his dead grandmother. Huh? Okay. Yeah, we're back to that, aren't we? Flap steak. Back in the Scottish Highlands, we enjoy a good flap steak once in a while. It comes from a cow's, you know what. Shoplifter claimed he stole a beef steak because it reminded him of his dead grandmother, a court has heard. So this has made it to court. The guy said blood in the meat pack had triggered flashbacks of his grandmother, who died of a blood clot when he was a child. A jury was told the 51-year-old was caught on CCTV, that's closed-circuit TV, putting the steak in his rucksack. The father of eight will not go to jail after being handed a 2-year conditional discharge. It's speaking of strange. It's just one of those weird stories. It's like, what's the meaning here? What's the greater context? I don't know. Guy gets before court and says, I stole steak because the blood reminded me of my grandma. Next story comes to us from... are you ready, Forrest?
Oh, yeah.
Orlando, Florida. A 47-year-old restaurant server arrived home from work at 4:17 p.m. She then went about reinforcing a food industry stereotype about veteran waitresses, picking a violent fight with one of her neighbors. According to the police report, the altercation began with the waitress throwing various items, and she then reached for a New Orleans Saints-themed garden gnome and proceeded to beat a man on the head with the NFL-licensed lawn ornament, causing him to bleed profusely from his left ear. After realizing she had crossed the line, she fled the scene. The next day, however, the waitress sent her victim a barrage of text messages asking him not to press charges. So basically the story here is a woman in Orlando beat a man with a garden gnome. And a New Orleans Saints-themed garden gnome. So I don't know what we take from that story, but it is speaking of strange. Let's see here. Where shall we go next? Let's go to Canada. How about that? Let's go to Quebec. Yeah. Canadian story. A woman is recovering following a bizarre accident in which she was run over 3 times by her own car. Police say the newspaper delivery woman was making her rounds and jumping in and out of her car, but during one parking attempt, her transmission wound up in reverse instead of park. The woman was smacked by the car's open door as it backed up and ran over one of her legs. She attempted to pull herself up and reached into the car to shift gears, but she fumbled and was struck a second time, resulting in her being run over again. And a third attempt produced the same results. People called 911 at 4 o'clock in the morning when they heard her screaming. She's being treated with serious injuries to her leg after being run over 3 times by her own car. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's just go back to some Florida stories. We got some great Florida stories, and one of them here is about a strange phenomenon you may have heard of called butt dialing. That's right, butt dialing. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Strange, and I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Yeah, it's the program where the unusual becomes usual. And don't forget now, if you have not seen the amazing ghost photograph of the Reynolds Wraith from the Reynolds Mansion, you need to go check it out. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. joshuapwarren.com. And look at the picture of the Reynolds Wraith. And while you're there, you'll find a link to creepylittletales.com. If you have a spooky story, or maybe a couple, or three, or four, or 11, if you're Shelley Wright, that you want to send us, because I am trying to gather some great stories, creepy little tales, for a new anthology. And you know, it's okay if you're not a good writer. I'll edit it. I'll polish it up if we think your story's good enough for the book. So you'll find the links to that at joshuapwarren.com. You know, it's funny how that we talked about how 2012 was the year of transition, and now 2013 is when the transition is kicking in. Well, we have always known that the state of Florida was right in the center of the weirdness, and if there is any type of running theme for hour number two, it's Florida, because, you know, I've told Forrest to keep that Florida bell handy. We ring that bell. There you go. Just like that. Every time there's a Florida story, and it's so rampant that we can do that. Now, trust me, we are not looking for Florida stories. It's just when we go looking for strange stuff, Florida is that absolutely undeniably present in all of our weird stories. So we're gonna be ringing that bell a lot over the next few minutes here. So let's start with a story from St. Petersburg, Florida. A man in St. Petersburg wanted three things: food, drink, and drugs. He asked the wrong people for help getting those items, though. Police said the man, 34 years old, called 911 approximately 80 times. They say, quote, the defendant admitted to calling 911 because he wanted Kool-Aid, burgers, and weed to be delivered to him, end quote. He never got those things. Instead, he was booked into the Pinellas County Jail. On the way there, he started chewing foam attached to the metal caging in the back of the police cruiser. He's facing a charge of misusing the 911 system, and he is in jail. But now, before the break, where is this story? I mentioned that there was a butt dialing story, and I'm pretty sure that was a Florida story. Here we go. Here's a story. Now, so the guy that I just read about here, that guy was intentionally calling 911. This guy was not. This is from Oakland Park, Florida. Tip, they say, if you're planning to kill somebody, try not to pocket dial 911 and have your plans recorded. This is almost unbelievable, but it's a real news story from Bradenton.com. They say this is exactly what happened after a man got into a fight with another man at Waffle House. They say, on a recorded line, the man can be heard telling someone else he's going to follow the victim home and kill him. And then minutes later, a 33-year-old man was shot and killed while driving his car. A spokesperson there at the 911 dispatcher office said, quote, this is a first for me. Criminals say crazy things all the time, but I've never seen anyone call a recorded line, end quote. The homicide detectives have arrested the butt dialer. He's a 24-year-old man from Pompano Beach. He's charged with first-degree murder. And when deputies arrived at the shooting scene shortly after 6:40 in the morning, they found his silver Buick crashed into a guardrail. And that's when they found the guy was killed. So, I mean, what are the chances of this? What are the chances that a guy is telling another guy, I'm going to kill you, and his phone butt dials 911, and so this is recorded? Forrest, is this not truly insane?
Shelley and I just looked at each other like, what the heck? You know, I'm speechless.
This is one of those stories that's so unbelievable. If it didn't come from a credible source, you just wouldn't believe it. Obviously, there are people listening to the program who are probably like, what is butt dialing? Okay, they don't even know what butt dialing is. I'll give you an example. I have a bicycle here on the island, and so I got on my bicycle, and I ran some errands, and then I looked at my phone. And my mom had called my phone, and she was very concerned because she'd gotten some kind of call from me, and it sounded like she's thinking the worst. She's a mother. She's thinking I'm in some horrible situation. And I told her, well, I guess I butt dialed you, you know, that my phone, somehow or other, the buttons get turned on in this, one would think, seemingly random manner. But it doesn't become random. Your little smartphone there is struggling to figure out what you're trying to do, and finally it makes a decision, and it calls somebody. Now, I don't know why your phone would call 911 if it just weren't the hand of God, you know, reaching down to arrange such.
Well, you know, there's some people have their phone set up so that if they hold down like a certain button, like 9, it automatically dials 911.
Ah, well, there you have it.
I'm going with the hand of God story.
Sounds good to me. Next story comes to us from Fort Pierce, Florida. That's right. Man arrested for tossing eggs at courthouse employees.
Sorry.
For some reason, I think you can relate to this, Shelley. You sound like you can connect to this story in a very intimate way. Says here, a 64-year-old man has been arrested for throwing eggs at the federal courthouse. He hatched the plan, they say. He hatched the plan, but it isn't all it's cracked up to be. Whoa, boom, yeah! We're just tossing them out left and right tonight.
Put the yolks on him.
A woman told authorities she had been cleaning the courthouse entrance when the suspect began egging her. She brought an officer to the spot where the incident took place. He noticed several smashed eggs on the ground, and turns out the suspect was a familiar face to one of the courthouse marshals who had seen him the previous day in the lobby and ordered him to leave. Well, he came back armed with eggs. So they're calling this an eggscapade.
So don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes.
That's actually a really good one. And I think we have time for one more before we go to a break here. Let's see. How about this one? This is from Daytona Beach. Oh, yeah. Florida. A woman claiming to be God, which I think we went over this last week. That's kind of a red flag when somebody says, I'm God. Wouldn't you think? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It may be true, but you just shouldn't say it. A woman claiming to be God doused her car with gasoline and lit it on fire at a BP gas station. Whoa! Of all the places to light your car on fire, the gas station. Yeah, she's 29, went behind the counter, grabbed the lighter, screamed that she was God, ran out the door, and from there it became just a terrifying experience. She lit the car up right there at the gas station, and also it says here, and this is especially freaky, quote, she said her babies were in the car. Oh, my God. So, but it actually turned out to be dogs in the car. But fortunately, they got the fire put out, and they got her out of there. End of story. But when we come back, another Florida story. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we got another minute, don't we, Forrest?
We do.
Could I squeeze in one more?
Yeah,
okay. You know, I'm here in the Bermuda Triangle, and so time is a little bit wacky down here. And I tell you what, this story is good enough. I'll just wait. I'll just wait until after the break. We need to dig into this one a little bit. And also, I have a story from a place called Punta Gorda. You know what Punta means, Forrest?
Yes.
What does Punta mean?
What is Punta?
Punta means point.
Okay.
Punta means prostitute. See, I'm learning my Spanish. Maybe I'll speak some Spanish when I come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Oh,
I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, and the next hour, well, it's what we call the Dark 30 Hour, and that's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And I tell you, you know, this second hour of the show tonight was really a time to catch up on weird news stories, but I think it's just become the Florida Hour. I mean, the bulk of these stories have been from the state of Florida. There are more Florida stories than I can even read, that I can even fit in. But let me jump right next to another Florida story. This is from Bartow, Florida. Now, this is one that kind of struck home with me. A 16-year-old student called a good kid by her principal will be tried as an adult on two felony charges after conducting what her classmates called, quote, a science project gone bad, end quote. She was mixing household chemicals in a plastic bottle when the ingredients suddenly interacted in a negative way, causing the top of the bottle to fly off and smoke to billow from the bottle. No damage was caused. No injuries were sustained. The school's resource officer held her until the police arrived and charged her with possession/discharge of a weapon on school grounds and discharging a destructive device. She was then handcuffed, taken to a juvenile assessment center. The principal there said, quote, she wanted to see what would happen when the chemicals mixed, and she was shocked by what it did. Honestly, I don't think she meant any harm, end quote. But nonetheless, you know, the student has been expelled and will now be forced to complete her diploma through an expulsion program. Man, Forrest, you and I would have been screwed if we grew up in this day and age.
Actually, my father has a story that when he was younger, he had a little chemistry lab underneath a funeral home. And he has this story about, well, they mixed these two certain chemicals together, and if it turned a certain color and started bubbling, it meant something bad was going to happen. Well, they were doing this, and that happened. They got the heck out, but the funeral home filled up with this some kind of toxic gas. And he got in a little trouble from his parents and other people, but he wasn't expelled from school for doing this.
Well, you know, if you read good, credible biographies of Thomas Edison, Thomas Edison started out this way. You know, he got into a railroad car with a bunch of different chemicals and made a little lab for himself. And he just started mixing stuff together and seeing what would happen. And, you know, eventually some, you know, crazy railroad man grabbed him by the ear and, like, jerked him out of the car. And he had messed up hearing the rest of his life. But the point is, that's how experimentation works. I mean, I used to mix up stuff. I made, you know, little things that would blow up and fireworks. Yeah. And, you know, that's part of the fun, right?
Homemade rockets.
Absolutely. Exactly. Why would we have rockets right now? And how would we have rockets if it weren't for, you know, young people getting out there mixing stuff up and seeing how to propel stuff?
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. So that's ridiculous. A couple more stories before we have to go this hour. Okay, here's one from Mount Washington, Kentucky. Headline, man allegedly ate everything in sight overnight at a Kentucky supermarket. This guy had an overnight feast. This guy was 30 years old, and he broke into the supermarket. They say that he ate 57 cans of whipped cream, 6 steaks, and he washed all this down with beer and then topped off his meal with shrimp and birthday cake.
Did he eat 57 cans, or was he doing whippets from the whipped cream?
Yeah, good question, Forrest. Yeah. Was they claimed that the whipped cream was empty, but there may have been a little of both going on there. And quickly here, before we have a break, Washington State headline, angry neighbor goes on the rampage in a bulldozer. A man fed up with his neighbors went on a bulldozing rampage, damaging 4 homes, knocking one off its foundation and cutting power to thousands of people. He was 51 years old, has had a long-running dispute with his neighbors over a fence.
That man is my hero.
Can you imagine a neighbor going on the rampage in a bulldozer? Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but people were screaming as this guy just destroyed the neighborhood. Nuts. Okay, time for a break, folks. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.